Yeah, let me
Oh,
look
God
at it.
bless you all. Tonight, the title of my teaching is Enjoying Life with the Father Every Day. And we talked about talking to people and winning souls. Well, our Heavenly Father is waiting to talk to us every moment of the day. He's available 24/7. But are we, it's not a question of is he available, is are we ready to listen and to enjoy the life that he's provided for us? He's given us his word that has all the things that pertain to life and godliness. So we need to spend more time in it. So then we can, as we spend time in it, as we speak in tongues and pray, then we'll recognize him and really surrender to letting him lead our lives. I know I had a very wonderful father, and I was one of 10 children, and my dad would do anything for each one of us, and I loved to be around him. In fact, one time my cousin's father wasn't so great, and every time we would get together, she would always go over and sit on my dad's lap, and I would get so jealous of that, because that's my dad. And we should be that with our Heavenly Father. That's my dad. He just wants to love us. So we're going to get into this area of every day enjoying the life that he's provided for us. It's God's will that we enjoy life every single day. He has a specific plan for each one of us. I've found I tend to get in his way at times, trying to figure things out instead of trusting him completely. I want to look at the things that might hinder us from experiencing God's goodness and enjoying the fullness of life he has chosen us. Experiencing joy and peace should be everyday experiences. We're protected. We don't have. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So we're in a protective bubble, and we need to enjoy that. One of the first verses that opened my eyes to God's will was John 10:10. The Amplified Classic Edition says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came," Jesus Christ said, "that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows." That's what our life should be. To the full, till it overflows with joy and peace. God's will is for us to enjoy life, every aspect of it, on the way to where we are going. How does the thief try to steal our joy? With regret of the past or dread of the future, these become thieves of joy. And what did Paul say in Philippians 3:13 and 14? It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have understood. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul, he had things to regret. You know, if you killed people thinking that you were doing God's will, then all of a sudden you realized you were the enemy of God. You can have some regret, and yet he was called out to be one of the great apostles. And it wasn't because of his ability, but it's because of the Christ that lived in him. And that's the way our lives should be. Our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy our lives every day. Regrets bring us to condemnation, but dread becomes a habit, an attitude that develops out of neglect or procrastination. We dread a task, so our mind says, "I'll put it off for a while." Where am I? But dread is a close relative to fear, and fear is not God's will for our lives. I have found that dreading a task is more painful than doing it. An adjustment of attitude and approach is all we need to change our minds. I might dread a long drive, doing the dishes, dusting, the laundry, calling someone, paying the bills, exercising, but they all have to be done. So at some opportunity, you have to do it. So why not jump in and do it? Joy allows us to become a new person, deciding to live in the present, not in the past or the future. God has planned for all of our lives. Trust Him today. Don't put it off for another day. It's like, oh, I'm going to wallow in my misery today, but tomorrow I'm going to trust Him. Mm-hmm. We don't need to live like that. We are complete in Christ. We have all that Jesus Christ had. What a blessing. And we have that open door of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Pretty amazing. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live for now. Ephesians 3:20 says, but now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We don't have to wait 25 years till we know every scripture. Right now he wants to bless us. So we have to have that expectation that blessing's here right now. Joy is the super strength to be all in, a result of the Christ in you. It strengthens the inner man. It's our protective shield. Joy represents a faithful, loving attitude that puts our Heavenly Father in control of our lives. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Mm-hmm. And that goal, it's so simple. Joy is so big. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, or rejoice always. Joy and rejoicing are a big deal in God's eyes. And you can look that up, the word joy, rejoice. Rejoice just means you're joying more and more, over and over again. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now that's huge. Hebrews 12:1-4 in the NLT says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. He's put us in the race. He called us before the foundation of the world to be his very own. And it says we have the victory in every situation. So if you never thought you were a good runner, you are now.
Yeah.
Because you're in the race and you got the victory. And you can get a crown for that probably. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And we're seated with him. We think of all the hostility he endured for sinful people, from sinful people. Then they won't become weary and give up. We don't have to get weary and give up because someone doesn't think nice of us. You know, he was spit on, he was tortured. And yet, at the end, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's that love that he had and the joy that was set before him, because he knew that we would be coming along. He did it for us. Verse 4 says, after all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. We declare that apart from Christ in me, we can do nothing. I happily acknowledge my need for him. Mm-hmm. Just give it up. We can't do it on our own. Psalm 112:1-2 from the NLT says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear or reverence the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Mm. When we reverence God, all those people and delight in obeying his commands, generations feel the effect of it. Isn't that wonderful? An entire generation of godly people will be blessed because of our lives. Some of Jesus' last words concerning joy to his disciples and the Father are found in John 15:11, 16:24, and 17:13. Do you have a moment to share those? Yeah, I'm going to share those. Yeah. If we want to look, John 15:11. These are all near each other. But Jesus is talking about joy. And if you really want to know more about joy, I just love to go to John 14 through 18. Look at Jesus' life. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Mm-hmm. We have that same joy. Remember the joy that was set before him to endure the cross? That same joy is in us. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 16:24 says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Boy, by asking to bless something or a need, our joy becomes full. You ask not, you receive not. John 17:13 says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But it says that you shall know my disciples by the love that they have for one another." How important that is. So I grew up in I was the fourth of 10 children, the first girl. And at 12 years old, I was given the responsibility of managing the household because my mom was very sick. My motto from that time on was, if it's to be, it's up to me. And it usually was when it came to organizing parties, cleaning the house, whatever it took. Yeah, I put that burden on myself. It was later, after I got born again, that I realized it doesn't have to be that way. My confession doesn't have to be. It's up to me. So now what I say, if it's to be, it's not about me. It's about him that loves me.
Oh.
And that's really important in our lives. We have to watch what our confession is, because sometimes we put that burden on ourselves when God just wants to hold us and carry us and love us. Sit on his lap. It was a freeing revelation. I felt 20 pounds lighter. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we all get burdened down and think, gosh, won't someone else help me or whatever? Do I have to do it all? But I have to do it in the Christ in me, and then I don't have that burden because Christ is taking care of it for me. It's God and Christ in me. When you look in the mirror, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the glory of the Lord. Now my quest is to trust in the Lord and rely on him for what needs to be done. It's not in my accomplishments, but in the Lord who lived a perfect life to save us from the lies of the devil. The devil's one that says, well, God's too busy for you. He's not. He can't answer that prayer today. Maybe down the line he might have a chance, but that's a lie. Because God says he wants to take care of us. He knows the very thoughts that we speak. He even knows before we even speak them. He knows exactly what's going on in our lives. So wants to bless us. So looking unto the author and finisher of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the amazing life that we live. God desires we enjoy our lives with him every single day. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed that.
Oh, good. Enjoy the everyday life.
Let's you close with prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you that life is so simple, that it's not complicated because of our inabilities, but it is strengthened because of the Christ in us and the joy that was set before us, that we could have success, that we could bless people's lives, that we could show them that you are a good, good Father and that there's nothing you won't do for us. So I thank you for working in each one of us to hear your voice, to go to you when we are need an answer, need a direction in what to go in. And I thank you that you want the very best. I thank you for people that can follow us and see, I want what she's having and what they're having, because that what you've put in us, that light, we're the lights of the world, that beacon of light will follow everywhere we go, and we can just trust you that you will bless all those around us. So thank you for a great night. I thank you for healing for each one of us, for lifting any burdens that we have, that we've taken on, that we can just cast that, and that perfect peace that Jesus Christ gave us, that we can just enjoy this night. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.